I remember back when I was young in grade school in the 1970s that I would see the Ten Commandments posted various places. Believe it or not, I had some teachers that had the Ten Commandments posted in their classroom or in the hallway. I would see the Ten Commandments posted in places of business around the community. You don't see that much today, do you? We're moving away from God's commandments. We're moving away from God. We're moving away from God's Word. There was a time when young people were encouraged to memorize the Ten Commandments. Can you say them? Do you know the Ten Commandments? We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19 and chapter 20, we're going to be looking at a portion of that text this morning. And we're glad that you've joined us. And we hope that you'll listen through this half hour to be reminded of the importance of having these guidelines in our life today. Nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament. We'll talk about that more later. But God wants these rules and regulations in our life, and it's what makes us a better people. And we can look around and see the consequences of removing these commandments from our life. Our society is on a slippery slope downward into sin and degradation. We're having more and more problems every day. And it's not just simply an accident. It's because people do not have God and His Word in their lives. And I would encourage you, friend, this morning in your marriage, in your own person, in your children, to have God's rules and regulations in your life. It will make you a better person, a better marriage, a better family. It will take you all the way to heaven. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're looking at great Bible stories and events. And I want to backtrack just a little bit from last week. We looked at Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. I want to backtrack a little bit and look at Israel coming to Mount Sinai and God giving the Ten Commandments. And we're going to pick up the reading, if you have your Bible, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. Exodus 19 and verse 16. In the third month after the Israelites came out of Egypt, came out of bondage, crossed the Red Sea. It's actually around this time of the year in which that took place. It was known as the Great Passover that corresponds to April of our year. That God led Israel out of Egypt, crossed through the Red Sea on dry land, led them down southeast of Egypt, down into the wilderness of Sinai to Mount Sinai, and there gave them His law. They stayed there about a year. It runs all the way from Exodus 19 through the end of the book of Exodus. All of the book of Leviticus and the first 10 chapters of the book of Numbers deal with this time period about a year at Mount Sinai, hearing and receiving the law of Moses. This was not simply a long laundry list of rules and regulations to make God's people, make their life difficult, but to make them better people. There's a reason and a purpose. God doesn't just sit up in heaven and dole out commandments because He doesn't have anything better to do, but as John says in 1 John chapter 5, His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They are for our good if we will keep them. And even Moses talks about that in the book of Deuteronomy, that God's law is for our good. Just like traffic laws are for our good and other types of laws. So let's read together Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. We'll be reading these Ten Commandments and then some admonition for our lives today. Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud. And all the people that were in the camp trembled, And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai, the whole of it smoked, because Jehovah descended upon it with fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And Jehovah came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount. And Jehovah called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Jehovah to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also that come near to Jehovah sanctify themselves, lest Jehovah break forth upon them. And Moses said unto Jehovah, The people cannot come up to the mount of Sinai, for thou didst charge us, saying, Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And Jehovah said unto him, Go, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto Jehovah, lest he break forth unto them. So Moses went down unto the people and told them. And God spake all these words, saying, and then we're going to look at the Ten Commandments. First thing I'd like to notice, and I hope to close this morning by the New Testament reference to this in Hebrews chapter 12, but God's people came to a mountain that quaked. And notice some of the descriptions here to talk about God's presence. This is a very important event. A very important being, God, is about to speak about a very important matter, His law, to a very important people, the children of Israel. And this is not just some ho-hum, ordinary event, but there are things that are going on this mountain that get the people to wake up to the seriousness of what is about to take place here. And we need to take God's law seriously. You notice, going back to verse 16, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud, the voice of a trumpet, there was fire, there was smoke ascending as a great furnace, the mountain is quaking, moving. So notice the attention-getting characteristics of this account. The attention-getting phenomenon, the physical phenomenon to get Israel's attention. And as we're going to see in chapter 20 and verse 18, their attention was held. God got their attention. Can God get your attention, friend, to the seriousness of following His Word? Opening our Bible and taking His Word seriously. As we're going to see as we close this morning when we turn to Hebrews 12, we don't come to Mount Sinai. People don't go to Mount Sinai anymore. We come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We have many more greater benefits in the New Testament church, and we're to take it just as seriously as these people were and did. So let us get our attention to the great God who is trying to speak to us in the Bible today. Let's pick up the reading in chapter 20 in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we begin the Ten Commandments. Number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for Jehovah thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath unto Jehovah thy God. And thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, Jehovah blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Number 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. Number 6. Thou shalt not kill. Number 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8. Thou shalt not steal. Number 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. And all the people perceived the thunderings and the lightnings and the voice of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the rest of the chapter and the chapters that follow, you look at chapter 21, verse 1, these are the ordinances which thou shalt set before them. The rest of the laws that are given at this occasion, in addition to the Ten Commandments. They were not the only commandments given. There were other laws and rules and regulations. Let's go back and look at these Ten Commandments. The first four deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship with mankind. And if you stop and think about it, friend, everything in the Word of God, all that God requires of us, can be summed up as our relationship with God or our relationship with our fellow man. That's why Jesus, for example, said of God and fellow man in Matthew chapter 22 that the greatest commandment was to love God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And a second unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. And we have something similar here. The first four commandments dealing with our relationship with God. This last six dealing with our relationship with our fellow man. Notice, first of all, in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 20, that the whole matter of God's law is predicated upon God who first brought them out of bondage. God did not free them from Egypt so that they could go out into the wilderness and just have a good time. Go out and live it up. Go out and party. Go out and just be on an extended vacation the rest of their life. Go out and do whatever they want. He freed them so that they could come out and serve him. And if you go back to chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6, where God says that I brought you out so that you can be a people that belongs to me, a holy nation, a priesthood, to serve God. So they were freed in order to serve God. And the same is true today. We're freed from sin through the blood of Christ. When we contact that blood in baptism, and we're freed from that sin in order to serve God, not just to live any way we want. So verse 2 is very important. That's the foundation of all of this. That's the what all of this is predicated upon and built upon, that God brought them out, and so now they need to live by His Word. He graciously saved them. Now they need to obediently serve Him. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's one and only God. They needed to be reminded of this because they had just come from Egypt, and the Israelites had been in Egypt about a little over 400 years, and they had been very much surrounded by idolatry and false gods, many gods, a god for everything, a god for the river, a god for the land, a god for the sky, a god for the crops, a god for the animals, etc., etc. Hundreds of gods. But there's one true and living God. This is repeated in the New Testament. This commandment is for us today. One God, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. One Lord and one God, Ephesians 4, 5 through 6. One God and one mediator between God and man, Jesus, 1 Timothy 2, 5. All the false gods of Hinduism and Buddhism and many other isms just simply are not true. We know, Paul says, that there is no God but the one true God. Hinduism is quite an example of hundreds and thousands of false gods that are just simply the figment of man's imagination. They don't really exist. But one true God. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. As I said before, they were surrounded not only by the concept of false gods, but physical images that represented these different gods, some of them in the shape of animals. False idols. So, one God, and don't make an image of God. God is a spirit, John 4, 24 through 26. Don't make a graven image of someone who doesn't have a physical body and then bow down to that. This became a snare later to the children of Israel in subsequent generations. And it even became a snare not long after this in Exodus chapter 30 when they made the golden calf and bowed down to it. He had just told them not to do that, and not long after this, they do it. For some reason, it is very tempting to man, and he succumbs to that temptation. This is repeated, this second commandment is repeated also in the New Testament. Paul said not to have fellowship with idolaters, 1 Corinthians 5:11. They will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10. It's a work of the flesh, idolatry is Galatians 5:20. Covetousness is idolatry. Somebody says, Colossians 3:5, somebody says, well, I don't actually bow down to a physical image. But people are covetous of money and material things and greedy of that. Paul says in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. We're to flee idolatry. We're not to have idols among us. Guard yourselves from that, John says, 1 John 5:21. Idolatry, Revelation 21:8, Revelation 22:15, will keep us out of heaven. That's a serious thing. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That is done so much today. God's name is taken in vain. It's a cuss word. It's profanity. It's a joke. It's a punchline. His name is to be spoken seriously. This third commandment is also repeated in the New Testament. We're not to swear. Ephesians 5, 34 through 36, Matthew 6, 9. Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. No corrupt speech is to proceed out of our mouth. Ephesians 4, 29 and Ephesians 5, verse 4. 1 Peter 2, 1, 1 Peter 3, 10, James 5, 12. Again, talking about not swearing, but letting our yes be yes and our no be no. But especially today, this is violated in all of the profanity and taking God's name in vain. Movies and music and books and people walking around. It's at school everywhere. It's in the workplace. It's everywhere. We need to be speaking God's name in a serious way, in speaking of ourselves and to others about the importance of serving God. But when people bring up God today, it's just a cuss word to them. And God says, Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Many, many people are going to stand guilty before God in the judgment day, and that's going to be their problem. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God rested on the Sabbath day, and so these Israelites were to do the same. This is the one commandment that is not repeated in the New Testament. We don't have time to flesh this out this morning on the program, but the day of worship for God's people was changed from Saturday or the Sabbath day under the old law to Sunday or the first day of the week under the law of Christ. That's when Jesus came out of the grave, Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 24. He came out early on the first day of the week, Sunday. That's when he was resurrected. The Christians worshiped and took the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And that's when they gave of their contribution upon the first day of the week, Sunday, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. So that's the day that we worship Christ today under the new law. Under the old law, the Israelites were to worship and take a rest on the Sabbath day. But that law is not repeated. Of the Ten Commandments, that's the one that's not repeated in the New Testament. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Respect for your parents. This is the beginning of the last six that deal with our relationship with our fellow man. Respect your parents. Great disrespect is going on today. But this is repeated in the New Testament in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. Matthew chapter 15, honor your parents, not just in obeying them and doing what they want us to do, but also in their old age. 1 Timothy 5, 4, Matthew 15, honoring parents means taking care of them. Respect and honor, not disrespect and dishonor. So many children today are being allowed to talk back to their parents and disobey and punch and kick them and hit them and run away and cause them all kinds of grief, and then look at what they turn out to be later in life. Jails and prisons are full of people who, when they were young, did not follow these commandments, and now look at their messed up lives. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Some versions rightly translate this, thou shalt not murder. This is not just any kind of killing. Later in the book, in the same book of Exodus, God is going to say that certain ones are to be stoned and put to death, capital punishment. So this is not capital punishment. Neither is this accidentally killing someone or accidentally hurting someone to the point where they die. This is murder. This is first-degree murder. It's repeated in the New Testament, Romans 1:29, Romans 13, verse 9, James 2:11, James 4:2. 1 Timothy 1, 2, 1 Peter 4, 15, Revelation 21, 8, murderers are going to be in hell, the lake that burns with fire. That goes on all the time. Sometimes people are incarcerated for it, sometimes they're not. And one thing that we don't realize today, but because it's legal, people don't bring it up, but all across the world today, all around the world today, there are approximately 40 to 50 million murders all around the world each year. But because it's called abortion, people are perfectly fine with it. And because in the United States in 1973, it was made legal in Roe v. Wade, people don't think anything of it. Just because something's legal by man doesn't mean it's lawful by God. It's murder. And every year in the United States, it is good to know that there's been a decrease in the number, but the number is still very high. Over 638,000 abortions every year. It's about 1,800 abortions a day in this country. 1,800 murders a day. If we talk about it like that, it's a little bit different, isn't it? And that's exactly what it is. Thou shalt not commit adultery, sexual sin, where we have a sexual relationship outside of our God-given marriage. That's repeated also in the New Testament. Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, Romans 13:9. It's a work of the flesh, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Adulterers, God will judge, Hebrews 13, verse 4. 2 Peter 2:14, Revelation 2:22. Adultery is a sin. It's committed all day long. People think nothing of it. Thou shalt not steal. We know what theft is. That's repeated in the New Testament. Romans 13:9, Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, don't lie. That's repeated in the New Testament. Matthew 15:19. Acts 5:3, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, they were struck dead. Ephesians 4:25, we're to put away all falsehood out of our mouth. Colossians 3:9, put away lying. Revelation 21:8, all liars will have their part that burns in the lake of fire. And then last of all, thou shalt not covet. This is greed. This is an inordinate desire for material things, money things, physical things, to where we go after it in a way that is unhealthy. It's a wrong priority. We might even break God's law in trying to get that which we want. And covetousness is a sin. We're not to have fellowship with those who covet, 1 Corinthians 5:11. It'll keep us out of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 5, 3 and 5. Colossians 3, 5. James 4, 2. It's a sin. Romans 1, 29. Romans 13, 9. We don't need to be greedy of physical things around us to where we take it. Either it doesn't belong to us, or it causes us to fall down before it like an idol. Covetousness is idolatry, Colossians 3:5. Or we get it in some inordinate way. This is not just the natural getting of physical things through working properly and saving up and things like that. It's greed. And it's wrong. The Ten Commandments. God's people trembled and quaked when they first heard it. And we should as well. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer says of Christians that we do not come to Mount Sinai anymore. We don't come to a mountain that quakes and so forth like that. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, we come to Mount Zion unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable host of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of men just made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than Abel. And he goes on to say that we need to listen to God, just like they did here in Exodus chapter 20, when the mountain shook and they listened. We need to listen today. Friends, thank you for joining us on the Let the Bible Speak program. Do these commandments guide you today? If not, let us get together and let's study how that we can have these great guidances in our life to take us all the way to heaven. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that you'll have a good day.